Amen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we're so grateful for this year, dear Lord God. It's been an amazing year. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you've revealed for us, revealed to us. We thank you also, dear Lord God, the way you guided us and protected us. And Father, here we are today. Father, we want to finish this year strong. So I thank you for giving each speaker a word in season to them that may be weary, that their teaching this morning is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it is in demonstration and the manifestation of your spirit and of power. Father, I pray that everyone here that's listening now and on the internet, Father God, that everyone has ears to hear what your spirit is saying. Father, they will mix it with faith. They will bring forth fruit, and that fruit shall remain, and you will be glorified. In Jesus' name, let all who agree say, amen. All right, Minister Tim Hunter.
Amen. Amen, amen. Whew, God, we thank you. We thank you. Our topic today is, he brought us out to bring us in. We're going to read from Exodus 3:7-8. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt. Into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Havites, and the Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. I just want to kind of talk to you about the year of 2018. I know we have all made plans to be in a certain place, in a certain location, or even have a certain time frame to do something by the end of this year. Now we've reached December the 30th, 2018, and we find ourselves in a place of darkness. We find ourselves in a place of despair. We find ourselves in a place where things didn't seem to work out the way God had planned them and the way you had planned them. But perhaps you are married and you married the love of your life only to find out months or years later that you find yourself alone or even became a single parent. Perhaps you may have been stuck in a miserable relationship. Or you've been stuck on a job that brings you no satisfaction. You prayed, you fast, you seek God for direction. But despite believing God and asking God, or calling on God, or looking for God to make a move in your life, you are still stuck wondering when you arrive to your destiny. In 2018, I understand that you didn't plan things this way. And you're probably asking yourself, the question is, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up to be oppressed. I didn't sign up to be controlled by the enemy. I didn't sign up to be trapped by my circumstances. But my only objective was to do good and to love others and to honor God and trust in his word. My only objective was to wait on the plan of God to manifest in my life. But I come to just encourage you today that it's not your fault. It's the enemy who is scared of you. Because the anointing of God is on your life and the gift of God that he's giving you, the enemy is scared of you. Because you have the favor of God on your life, we find that the enemy is scared of you. You are different and you are unique. The enemy realized that you are strong in your faith and you're God-fearing. But the purpose of this oppression is to kill your spirit and to stop your growth. I want to also tell you is, it's not a test. This is not a test from God, but you have become a threat to the enemy. Chapter 1, verse 10 says, you must make plans to keep them from growing even more. This is Pharaoh talking to his crew, telling them to keep God's people depressed, to keep God's people under his covering, under his commands, so that he can keep them controlled. But then he says, if you don't, if a war breaks out, there will join enemies and fight against us. Then they will escape from the country. Well, see, this is where Pharaoh wants to keep you depressed or oppressed, because the simple fact is he know if God released that anointing in your life and that gift that's on you, that you would destroy everything that is around you. So sometimes we have to identify what's in us. It is God who is in us, and the enemy has no control. The tactics of Pharaoh against God's people are usually to call hatred amongst the people. That's amongst your church folks. That's the reason why we don't have time to walk around and gossip against one another, because the enemy is already on our tail. It is to keep us in sexual immorality. That means that go home, man of God, and be with your wives. Women, go home and be with your husbands. And let the enemy continue to destroy itself, because you are the righteousness of God, and you still have a higher standard that you need to stand to. Not only that, we don't want you to get discouraged, and at this time, it's not the time to throw in the towel. Because you are a threat to the enemy, God has heard your cry because of the location, the geographical location that you have been placed in. He is aware of all your sufferings and all your pain. He has a plan to remove you from your enemies. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God's plan is to shift your geographic location to his spiritual destination. It's time for you to land in the land flowing with milk and honey. It is a spacious land it's a spacious land so that you can grow your anointings and your gift. Amen. The music has played.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, Minister Tim, you went over my minutes. It's all good. God is good. Amen. Ooh. Okay, I got to get that in a minute. I'm sorry. Let's see here. Ooh. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Our theme on today is He brought us out to bring us in. The scripture of Exodus 3:7 was already read, so I'm going to go into Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 11. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Beloved, I want to encourage you on today to hold on to your faith. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Our conscience like to play tricks on our minds. It's one of the strongest members of our body other than the tongue. The Bible says, "So what a man thinketh, so is he." So take control over your thoughts. You have a choice. Do you want to stay in the same situation and do the same thing repetitive over and over again? You may be feeling oppressed, some of us depressed, full of anxiety, stressed out. Get your weapon, which is the word of God, and hold on to your faith. Start quoting scriptures to encourage your heart, to encourage your mind. Each step you take it with authority. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. This too shall pass. Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm here to serve the devil notice on today. I know who I am because I am a child of the Most High God. You can knock me down, but best believe I'm getting back up. You can put my back up against the wall, but best believe, baby, I'm coming out swinging. Ha, 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 ha. My weapon is loaded, and it's loaded with the word of God. Ha. Glory to God. When you come out, you won't look the same way you did when you went in. You'll come out with a new attitude, a new walk, and a new talk. You want to be able to identify that the enemy, when he comes, he's sneaky and conniving. You got to be on the watch for that old serpent snake. You got to be on the watch for that bone constrictor snake, that rattlesnake, and that anaconda snake. Ephesians 6, 12 through 17 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, standing and having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Hallelujah. And your feet should, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which ye shall be able to quench all, not some of it, but all of the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You may be tried on every side, but still trust him. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "The weapon of our warfare almighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down all imaginations that exalt itself above the knowledge of God." When you praise him in spite of what you're going through, the walls got to come down. Look at the spirit for what it is. Call it by its name and tell it, "I'm taking my authority, back over my life. I'm taking my control over my life. I'm taking control over you. No more will I let you hinder me. No more will I let you discourage me. You can't have me, you can't have my mind, and you sure can't have my praise." Every frustration, aggravation, anxiety, and anger got to come down. Every doubt, delusions, arrogance, busyness, backbiting spirit got to come down. Every curse, hex, blindness, insecurities, heaviness, depression, deception, it's got to be broken and it's coming down. Every familiar spirit, mind-boggling spirit, wounded spirit, seducing spirit, generational spirits, infirmities, and affliction got to be broken and it's coming down. Look out, infirmities, because here comes my healer. Look out, confusion, because here comes my way maker. Look out, strong man, because here comes my redeemer. Look out, brokenness, because here comes my restoration. Don't look at the distraction. Instead, look straight ahead. Stay focused and run your race. Take authority in what God has given you. Let him be the cruise control and take the wheel. And remember, he brought you out of your distress to bring you in to the land of milk and honey. God bless you.
Our God is triumphant. So we know our core verse was coming from Exodus chapter 3. Verse 8 says, part of verse 8 says, "And I have come to rescue them." I have come down to rescue them. So as God takes us out to take us in, my question is, though, do you want to be rescued? Do you really want to be rescued? Of course I want to be rescued. I don't want to be bound in slavery. I don't want to be bound in oppression. I don't want to be bound in fear. I don't want to be bound in whatever this I've been doing and dealing with for my whole entire life. Why not? Well, maybe the journey is too hard. The journey to deliverance might be too hard. Maybe the past seems familiar. Maybe the past seems comfortable. Maybe the past seems pleasurable. So those are perhaps all a couple of reasons of why you may not really want to be rescued. The Israelites cried out to God, "God, save us. God, save us from this oppression. We no longer want to be slaves anymore." But still, there was some other stuff going on. Risk appears to be great. Why wouldn't you want to be rescued? Because the risk appears to be great. The loss of relationships, the loss of connections may seem to be great. Or you just may be simply afraid. They had to go through the wilderness. Look at Exodus chapter 14. He says, but I thought you want to be rescued. They remember, they cried out to the Lord to be rescued. But as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked. Can somebody say panicked? When they saw the Egyptians overtaking them, they cried out to the Lord and they said to Moses, why did you bring us here to die in the wilderness? Were there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Why did you make us leave that thing that we cried out to you to deliver us from? Now we're out here. We're in the middle of the desert. We're in the middle of the wilderness. We got Pharaoh coming after us. We have all those things that we wanted to be delivered from, but now they're still coming after us to kill us. Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. Do you want to be free? It is better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Do you want to be rescued? These were the same people that were crying out to God, God, rescue me. Save me from my oppressor. Save me from my addiction. Save me from my pain. But when you start to think about it, man, I was so feeling good when I was tapping my arm. It was good. It was good to me. It was good to me. Whatever it is that your addiction may be. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. When God begins to deliver, you can't be afraid when the storm comes. You can't be worried about what people are saying. Hey, man, are you too good for us? You can't hang with us like you used to be. Man, you used to be down, man. We used to hit the club. We used to see. We used to do this. We used to do that. You can't be afraid of what people have to say. People gonna talk. Let them talk. Then Moses said, just stand and watch the Lord rescue you today. Just stand and watch the Lord rescue you today. So again, it goes back to the question, though. Do you want to be rescued? The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. The Lord himself will fight for you. You don't have to fight the battle yourself. The Lord is going to fight for you. But are you going to trust him enough to let him fight? Or will you retreat and duck and hide? Don't be afraid. Now, Jesus asks a similar question. See, it's not just in the Old Testament that we see people struggling with deliverance. There was a man in the Bible in John chapter 5. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? Would you like to get well? And the guy replies, I can't, sir, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone always gets there ahead of me. Jesus said, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Jesus asked the man, do you want to get healed? The man said, he didn't ask him all that. He asked him one simple question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be rescued? Do you want to be delivered? Do you want to be set free? Trust in the Lord your God, and he shall establish your plans, and he will provide victory and a day of escape. Jesus is the rescue.
Hallelujah. He brought us out to bring us in. Exodus 3:7-8. I know they read it. I'm going to read it again. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where all their haters now live. All right? So Exodus 3... we're going to go ahead and skip down. Exodus 3:21-22 says, and I will cause the Egyptians to look favorably on you. They will give you gifts when you go, and so you will not leave empty-handed. Every Israelite woman will ask for articles of silver and gold and fine clothing from her Egyptian neighbors and from the foreign women in their houses. You will dress your sons and daughters with these, stripping the Egyptians of their wealth. See, this promise was made back to Abraham in Genesis 15:18-21, and then to Isaac in Genesis 26:3, and then to Jacob in Genesis 20. 28 to 13. And then he broke down in Exodus 23 and 31. God told him them basically, yeah, your enemies are there. But when you go in, when you move in, I'm going to push them out. And so 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ our amen, which means yes. Ascends to God for this glory. Look at your neighbor and say, God is a promise keeper. Don't be bougie. Look at your next neighbor. Get in their face and God is a promise keeper. Okay? I just want you to know that in 2019, it's time to tell your haters thank you. So go ahead and pop them some popcorn. Say thank you for not believing in me. Thank you for giving up on me. Thank you for firing me because I didn't want that job anyways. Thank you. Thank you for your lies. Thank you for lying on me. Thank you for talking about me. Thank you for spitting on me. Thank you for not answering my phone calls. Thank you for talking trash when you were supposed to be my friend. Thank you, because I didn't need it anyways. Thank you. Thank you for not calling me. Thank you for not answering anything, my text messages when I needed you. Thank you for not praying for me. Thank you for not believing in me. Thank you for not standing here. Thank you, because even though you're my family, I don't need that either. Thank you. Thank you. It's time to tell your haters thank you. It's time to, I want us to stop asking God to remove our enemies when he said he was going to bless us in front of our enemies. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thy art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemy. In the presence of my enemy. In the presence of my enemies. So while your haters are there in front of them, God is going to bless you. That's what God was doing to the children of Israel. He said, look, I understand that, you know, these slave drivers are driving you hard and, you know, you're tired of them and you want to be delivered. However, I'm going to bless you in front of your enemies. Mark 12:36 says, for David himself, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand and until I humble your enemies beneath your feet. Sit in the place of God at his right hand till he humbles your enemies beneath your feet. Thank you for that boss that didn't like me, that didn't believe in me, that didn't want to give me a raise. I didn't need it anyways because God's going to bless me even better than you could imagine. Thank you. It's time to start thanking your enemies. I'm telling you, get the popcorn out because God is going to open up doors and he's going to open up windows and bless you that you have not room enough to receive right in front of their faces. Luke 1:70 through 75 says, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago, now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. Tell your haters thank you. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant that he swore with oath to our ancestors, Abraham. 75 says, we have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear in holiness and in righteousness for long as we live. Back in Exodus, God told Moses, lead the children of Israel out of Egypt in front of their enemies. So I want you to be encouraged that in 2019, we're not going to ask God no more to move our enemies out of the way. No, God, keep them there because I want them to see my glow up. Yeah, I want them to see that when they were being shady, God still came through for me. Thank you for the shade tree, baby, because I'm coming up. I'm coming up. I'm coming up. I'm coming up. God brought us out to bring us in. He brought us out to bring us in. He brought us out to bring us in. 2019, he brought us out to bring us in. 2020, God brought us out to bring us in. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. God brought us out to bring us in. Hallelujah. When he talked to Moses and he said to him, I want to bring you out of Egypt and move you to the promised land. Yes, God is a promise keeper. Whatever he promised, God will fulfill it. He says, I will take you out of Egypt and I'll move you through the wilderness into the promised land. But do you know that all those people who left Egypt, none of them enjoyed the promised land? Whatever God does in our lives, there is God's part and there is our part. God will always fulfill his part. But we need to cooperate. We need to work with him for us to be able to bring us out and put us into the place where we're supposed to be. If we do not cooperate with him, if we do not work with him, we may not end up where we are supposed to be. And we will continue to struggle and struggle and struggle. You will be in church, but still struggling. You will be in church, but still struggling with depression, struggling without any movement, without any progress in your life. And you see other people being blessed until you get jealous of them because you are not cooperating with God. God always fulfills his promises. He has already done what he's supposed to do in our lives. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that anyone who shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God has already done his part. Jesus already done, he died for us at the cross of Calvary. That was God's part. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, he is the one who can convict the world of sin. God has already done his part. When he saved us, the Bible says, we become the children of God. So God has done his part. But the question is, are we doing our part? God wants us to do our part. And I want you to remember one thing. If you can remember it, even if you forget everything that I have said, but I want you to remember that our part is to be fed. F-A-T. Just be fed. That's all that God wants from you. F stands for faithfulness. Be faithful in what God has called you to do. Faithfulness doesn't necessarily mean to be there, always be there. But faithfulness means when you are given 5, you turn them to 10. If you are given 2, turn them to 4. If you are given 1, turn them to 2. Whatever God has given you, you have to be able to turn it to something. If God has given you a voice to sing, help other people also sing. Are there other people who can do what you are doing? Are you helping somebody to become who you are? Or when you leave, nobody can do what you are doing? It could be at their job, maybe you might be a manager or a director or any position that you are in. If you are an Aisha, are you training somebody to become an Aisha also? The Bible didn't say we should go and make converts, but it says we should make disciples. Are you making disciples in your gifting? Who are you helping in your life? Who is your disciple in your life? Be faithful. And one day God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Faithfulness means fruitfulness. It means production. Be faithful. Number 2, be available. Are you available when we need you? Are you available when the church needs you? Are you available when Pastor Tony needs your help? Are you available when you are an Aisha and we need you at 8 o'clock? Are you available? Be faithful. Be available. And number 3, be teachable. Be teachable. And God will use our pastor to teach you. He will use your friends. He will use your boss. He will use your manager. He will use other people to teach you. And sometimes he can even use situations to teach you. But the question is, are you teachable? Be faithful, available, and be teachable. If you are fed, you will be able to move from Egypt and go through, cooperate with God, work with God, unto the promised land. Remember, not all those who were promised that they will leave Egypt who were able to reach the promised land. Amen. God bless you.
That was great. Amen. Yeah, that Elder Abraham, some, he didn't even come up with any notes or nothing. He just bow your heads, please. He's fat. God in heaven, we're so grateful. Thank you for the word that went forth, dear Lord God. And according to Isaiah 55:11, I thank you that it will not return.